That's great. And we want to become strong in our spirit, man. Yeah. Amen. Strong in our spirit. And it's a growth process. So you don't always see yourself growing, but as you begin to apply consistently some of the things we're sharing, you'll find that your spirit starts to develop strength in it. And it's a divine strength. It's not willpower strength. You know, some people have got great willpower and discipline. I admire them. I'm not really like that. I'm try to be, but it's just not my makeup. I'm too spontaneous. So, but I have learned that there's a strength we can find through our connection with God that actually gives us the ability to stand up and face things and overcome things. And so in the series, we're trying to help you understand some of the ways to do that. And I could have just given a simple short list, but I wanted to develop the teaching so you could then, hey, this is what it is and why it's important and how to go about doing it. So we talked about some of the reasons for having a strong spirit, and then we've looked at praying in tongues as one of the main gifts God gives you to build a strong spirit. So learn to use it and explore with it. And then we saw how meditation in the Word of God can bring transformation and shifts within you. And when you couple meditation and praying in the Spirit, you will start to engage with God very powerfully. And so we're going to continue that flow. There are some other things. I may just summarize them in the evening session, some things which are important to developing strong spirit. We saw John the Baptist grew and became strong in spirit. So it's a journey and a process. So wherever you are is where you are. Make a decision by the end of the year. I will have grown in my spirit, my capacity. There'll be a greater flow of life and awareness of the presence of God. So in the two sessions this afternoon, I want to share one called Engaging God in Worship. Engaging God, not just having a worship session, but engaging. To engage God means I'm actually making connection in a way that something's changing for me. And then the second session I want to do this afternoon, I want to talk about how to wait upon God, because you know that scripture, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So I look at that, because everyone knows it. And then you ask people, how do you wait on God and renew your strength? What do you do? Because it's great in the meeting to hear, wait on the Lord, renew your strength. Yeah, yeah, we'll say yeah. But when you get alone and you're there in a room alone, what does that look like? Falling asleep, getting tired, getting bored, that's what it looks like. Unless you know what to do. And when you know what to do, it starts to bring shifts in your life. And that's why I want to help you with what I've learned. And I'm sure other people have got things to share too, but we'll just share what will help you. So I want to just talk then about the area of worship, of engaging God in worship. The Bible doesn't say God's looking for much. In one place it says he's seeking. His eyes, Lord, go through and to and fro through the earth, seeking those whose hearts are loyal to him. So one of the things I know is God is looking for people who will remain loyal to him, trustworthy, will remain his friend through adversity. And of course, to do that, you have to have strength inside. Second thing God is looking for is those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The word truth means literally without concealing anything or hiding anything. In other words, being authentic and genuine and vulnerable in the presence of God. So in engaging God, we need to understand there's a difference between praise and worship. And then when it comes to worshiping God, there are some obstacles to overcome. And so we want to talk about pushing through those obstacles and what practical things you can do to deal with those hindrances. See, so when we're talking about praise literally means it's just to commend, to express admiration for. It means to thank him. And so there's lots of words in the Bible, different words to describe what praise is. But essentially, praise is we're lifting up and honoring him. It's basically a strong outflow from us towards God. Right? And so praise means we declare the name of the Lord, we declare and honor him. So it's literally to praise God is very expressive. And so there's activity involved in it. There's effort involved in it. That's why it's called a sacrifice of praise, because often you don't feel like it. And it's very disheartening for worship leaders to come in, and people are in there, and I don't know whether they're reluctantly or what, but they're reluctant to actually break through and make a sacrifice of praise. When you don't feel like it and you do give God an offering of praise, then it's a sacrifice. It costs you something. And God seems to come on sacrifices. It seems to come on sacrifice. So you just have to make decisions. You will break through your feelings, your body, the various things that resist engaging God, and do what's needed to give Him an offering. And I'll show you some simple things you can do to just make, to take dominion from your spirit over everything else and bring it into alignment. Once you do that, you engage God every time. It's every time. So, you know, but sometimes it's a little longer than others to break through all of those resistances. And it's just when you realize it's, look, everyone's hit the same stuff. Everyone gets the same pressures on them. Everyone fights to battle through the same things. It's only a relative level of it. And if you know what to do, you can push past every hindrance and engage with God. And that's what we really want to do. Because when you engage with God, you receive impartation into your spirit of His life and strength. And like Moses, we come out of His presence and something's changed. You may not always feel it, but you always do carry something when you've been in the presence of God. And so we want to learn how to do that, because I found for a long time I'd pray but didn't feel anything, didn't seem to go anywhere. It was just kind of like as an effort, then it's a discipline. And how to break out of that, where actually you come to a place where you enjoy being in the presence of the Lord. Don't want people to annoy you by breaking in on your nice time. And so praise then is the way the Bible tells us very clearly, come into, Psalm 100, come into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. So the Bible tells you, approach Him with certain things. It tells us in Psalm 100 and verse 4, it tells us, come with praise and gratitude. Bring Him an offering. So don't come with your problems. If you're going to come into the presence of a king, don't go shuffling in like a beggar. It's just dishonoring to Jesus and what He's done. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Now that doesn't mean you crawl in like you, even if you fail, even if things have gone wrong, the Bible says come boldly to what? To a throne. The center of government of all of creation, a throne filled with grace, the empowerment of God to provide for you mercy if you failed, and empowerment to get up and get going. So that's when I'm coming to God, that's what I'm coming to. We come boldly to the throne room of grace. Now, because you are a spirit being, you're already in the spirit realm. You've just got to get everything else to come into alignment so you become aware of where your spirit is actually going. And there's some simple things you can do that'll help that. So we're to come boldly and we're to come strongly. We're to come with something. Now, things about that you've done wrong and failed and all that kind of stuff, well, you can put those right on the way, but come first with what He says to come with. Bold and strong, grateful heart, thankful heart. And that's how it is. So we enter the presence of God through lifting up praise to Him, strong praise. Worship is really different. When you've praised and got a breakthrough and start to engage the presence of God, then it'll move to worship. When it's worship, now we're not making a big effort. Worship, it literally means to kiss the hand affectionately. To kiss affectionately. So now when you're worshiping God, it has to do with more with the affection and love and connection. So it's not going to be loud. It will change. So if you've used music for your praise, it won't be the music you want to use for worship, because worship is tender and intimate, often emotional. You're connecting. It can be reasonably quiet. It can have expression in it. It is really very different. And so in your time with God, there should be a movement of praise to honor Him and thank Him and start to shift the atmosphere. And we saw praying in tongues does that. And when the atmosphere shifts, then you start to change in the flow of what you're doing. Because you've sensed the presence is here, I need to change. I'm in the presence and feeling the presence of a king. So your music would be different. It'll be very soft. It'll be very gentle. It'll be not head-banging stuff, you know. It'll be actually gentle things which are maybe just instrumental, or maybe you can just download off the internet something that when you put it on, it just helps you with this atmosphere of being in the presence of a king. You got to choose songs to do that. So praise, you're building the atmosphere to become conscious of God. Not that God's not there, it's just, it's in the focusing in praise that we become conscious of him being there. He manifests his presence in a way you feel it. And then in worship, we respond to being aware. By now, it becomes gentle and loving, affectionate, surrendering to him. So it's quite a shift. In the worship, I surrender to him. I'll talk about that when we come to do the session on waiting on God and the how the process, how I found the process surrender works. Works very well for me, really. And so they're quite different things. So the challenge is to press through the obstacles to engage God, because there are real obstacles. And if we don't actually recognize those obstacles and do what's needed to overcome them, then your time with God gets shorter and shorter and shorter until you realize it's barely happening at all. And you don't know what happened or how it got like that. And so you can get excited about praise and worship, and then it just kind of dies off, and you have no idea why, because you didn't have a pattern that you and didn't sustain overcoming some of the resistance. So God has done everything to make way for us to enjoy his presence. He's done it. We actually have to apply ourselves to take hold of that. So there are many obstacles to receiving and encountering God and experiencing him. There's physical distractions. You just get distracted. Got to remember this and that. So there's a distraction. So our body resists engaging God. Your body is tired. You can't be bothered. I don't want to get up. Your body, I'm hungry. You know, it's whatever it is, your body resists engaging with God. So we're going to have to talk about take dominion over your body. You just make your body do what you want it to do so it's not a hindrance. Your thoughts are an issue. Thoughts get in your mind. And amazing how many thoughts, how I can't remember what to do until I start to pray. Then I remember everything I need to do. Just amazing how they all come back. Clarity, detail, all these things to be done. And just when I wanted to pray and I didn't want that in my head. So there's that warfare in the mind. There's also a warfare in your emotions and what you're feeling. Sometimes we've been going through a very difficult time, and so to try and engage the presence of God can be quite difficult. So you've got to learn how to overcome that resistance in your emotion. It may just be that you put on some gentle worship music, soft music, and allow your heart to just weep because you're overwhelmed. And then you can arise. So there's not just a fixed method in this, but there are some certain things I'll show you can do. And then sometimes it's just spiritual resistance. There's just a hard atmosphere, and you pray, and it's like, that's as cold as can be. Where is God? I think he left. And then the devil tells you he left you. You're the problem. You understand? This is the warfare. It still goes on. It goes on for me too. I mean, all the same things. And so I got to kind of learn how to press through the crowded noise and things that hinder engaging God. You just got to press through. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she believed if she could just touch Jesus, her life would change. So she pushed through every obstacle. And she got a miracle. She really did get a miracle. Okay, so we've got to press through a few things. Let's talk about then some things of pressing through. So the first thing is you've got to press through with your body. Your body, your spirit, which engages God, flows through your soul and body. So your body can block the flow of your spirit, and your soul can block the flow of your spirit. So you got to deal with both. So your body, just all it wants is food and drink and rest and sleep and sex. That's all it wants. And really, and your body resists all spiritual activity. You might as well know now, your body's just not into praying. It just doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to get to worship, doesn't even want to get there on time. It just, everything, your body has a life of its own that resists spiritual matters. And once you realize that, you've got to then take dominion over that body that does not want to do stuff that you want to do. And so if you're going to engage with God, then I encourage you then, take dominion over your body and make it do what it doesn't want to do. So get it moving. Get your body to move. Because when your body's, if you sit down or kneel down, you'll find your body will then want to go to sleep. And you're just like that. You can't engage God. So the best thing to do is get up, walk, get movement in your body, and then clap. And as you clap, pray in the Spirit. Just move your body so your body is made to do something it doesn't want to do. Just overcome your body's resistance by getting it doing something. And as we saw, that 20 seconds of just clapping and shouting to God, which is basically just your body expressing praise to God, actually shifted the atmosphere. So you'll find your body starts off incredibly resistant. But if you just get it to do some basic things, start moving, walking, move it, get your body, move it, come on, we're going to praise the Lord here today, thank you, and you begin to express, your body will give in and let go. And then you're right. So it's just you've got to overcome. So standing, moving to music, that's why we do music, get your body moving to the music. And you even got the meeting started, got that Jumanji sort of sound going there. Everyone gets I saw people clapping. I thought they don't realize that they've been tricked into already starting the praise thing now, just like that. They're already starting to clap their hands to the sound of it. I thought, you didn't realize the music was drawing you in to engage with God. That's the power of music. So get music that moves your body. Because the music that moves your body will actually help your body free up, so then you can flow from within. So not necessarily long, and it's not necessarily vigorous, it's just your body resists. So get your body doing something. And if your body's doing something, I walk up and down, move my body, praying, and I got you doing that. And the moment you did that and coupled that with praying in the Spirit, there's a release. So if you've ever seen anyone on a stage who's uptight, their body is kind of semi-frozen. And you feel awkward because there's no flow of life from them. So move your body. Just move your body so your body is not resisting anymore. Then later on, you can sit down and kneel down. But don't do that initially. Just get up and start moving your body, clapping, singing. And it stirs your body to do something to honor God. We are praising Him with our body. How about that? So make a decision. I'm going to love the Lord with all my strength. So I'll put my strength into it and clap. Now, don't be like those people that are half-hearted. Believe me, you won't break through. Basically, that message is, my body has rule over me. I don't have rule over my body. Oh, there you go. Bless you. So, yes. Indeed. So just clapping can do it, walking can do it, moving your hands can do it. Just get movement as you pray in the Spirit until you feel that you're starting to break through and got release in it. That's all it takes. And then later on, so I do prayer walking. I found prayer walking's really helped me, but it only works if I'm in an area where I don't have to think or concentrate where I'm walking. If I've got to watch about crossing roads and cars and stuff, they're not going to work. Too busy in the head. I just need somewhere quiet that I can be undisturbed. See? So get your body moving. And that's why we do the praise, strong praise song. Make up a list, get some strong praise songs that when you hear them, you just want to clap and go. So you use the music to get your body moving. Once you got your body moving, you'll feel the flow start to arise within you. And this is all preparation for our encounter. It's preparing an atmosphere for God, a welcome for the King. And so that's one part of it. Okay, then. Now the other place you've got to set in is with your mind. So you have to press in with your mind as well. Now you can get your body and praying in the Spirit, sure, blah, 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 blah. But your mind, it's everywhere. The mind can be everywhere. You know, so I've seen people in church. If you could see in their head, I wonder what I'm going shopping after that. I think there's a sale on down there, and I might do it. You know, it's like now. Listen, there's no connection with God while that nonsense is going on. Basically, your mind is out of control. Your mind has just gone where it wants to go, and it goes all over. It's like a butterfly. It's here, and then it's there, everywhere, but where it needs to go, which is directed towards God. And so when you try to pray, your mind for a period of time, until you train your mind, is all over the place. And you can have condemning thoughts. You know, people have all kinds of thoughts. And so either we get invasive thoughts that interrupt us and block us, and you've got to rebuke them and push back on them because they're not coming from you. They're an interference with an intimate relationship. There's someone barging in on you. So you've got to push back on those thoughts. Everyone has them. And then there's just distractions. So I'll show you how to deal with distractions. But the thoughts, sometimes you get thoughts of condemnation. Not good enough, not good enough. You're reminded that you shouted out and you're angry and you bumped into something or whatever. You remember all the things you did wrong. Suddenly you remember them all. And you feel condemned and unable to come near God because of that. But we're to come to a throne of grace to find mercy. So it doesn't really matter. Mercy's already waiting if you can push past the condemnation, which says you're not good enough to go there. So rejection, you're unacceptable because you're weak or you're this or you're that, all of that kind of thought. You've got to rebuke it. Sometimes just a spirit, I rebuke that rejection thought. I am coming boldly into the presence of my God and Father. You've got to actually be assertive from your spirit with the Word of God. Sometimes there's unclean thoughts come in. You'd be amazed how many people experience unclean thoughts, sexually unclean thoughts, in worship time. It's extraordinary because that part of us that loves is also the part of us that's sexually intimate, and so the devil tries to defile it. So just rebuke the unclean thought. We're going to fix our mind on the Lord. Sometimes there's worries come in. Worries actually divide your mind so you can't connect. So when you're worried about something, if you don't address that worry, you won't connect with God. And your prayer life, you come out afterwards, you think, I feel nothing now. Because worry divides your attention. So while you're trying to reach out to God, your mind is over here anxious about this thing. So if you don't actually cast it on the Lord, give it to the Lord. Lord, I bring this care to you. I choose to praise you in the middle of it. If you're not assertive, that thing just badges you. And you can't actually connect because it's always there. So I found I had to be quite assertive about that. And then, of course, there's distractions from people. You got to have, if you want time with God, you want it free from distractions by people or things. So to gauge God, we with our spirit, we must intentionally focus our mind on Him. So one of the key ways to focus your mind on Him is through meditation. So if your mind is empty, then everything will come to distract you. If you fill your mind with something, then you will be able to connect and engage because your heart follows your eyes. Your heart follows where you direct your focus. So if your mind is empty, your focus will be scattered and all over and you don't engage God. But if you just focus your thoughts. So how are we going to focus our thoughts? Well, take a scripture and memorize it and then put that as a picture in you as you come near to the presence of the Lord. So you may pray in the Spirit first of all, and then you mix it with English, and as you pray in English, begin to start to fill your mind with that picture. Father, I come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. So I like to quote the scripture because it helps reinforce remembering it. Now I'll come through and then pray it personally. Father, I step into your throne room. Well, Lord, you govern all of creation with power and majesty. I stand amazed before your throne with the glory, surrounded by your angels. What an honor to come into your presence, Lord. I stand before you now and honor you along with the angels and saints that have gone before. I stand before your glorious throne, honoring you in all your majesty. Now, I'm fixing my mind with that scripture on him. And as I begin to pray that way, I begin to then All thoughts of distractions are taken away. I'm fixed now on the radiant presence. I try to imagine a glorious throne room of Jesus seated there at the right hand of the Father. So I make that my focus. Or I might take Isaiah. Isaiah's a great one because Isaiah had a picture straight into the throne room. And so you memorize Isaiah 6, the first few verses. The year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up. Now, I just usually pray it out first, and then I go back again over it and personalize it. And if you've memorized it, it's quite easy to do, and you're not trying to think or remember it, you can actually engage with it. Father, I just come now before you. Lord, I see you on your throne, the seat of government of all of creation. And you've invited me to come near to you. I see you high, lifted up, majestic, above all elements in creation. And so just go on, see? And now the angel seraphim said, and above the throne seraphim, each with six wings, and with two he did cover his face because of the glory of God so radiant. Lord, what an honor to be able to stand as a son in your presence. So I'm trying to imagine the throne and imagine the brilliant light from the throne and imagine these angels above it. And they're the brilliance of God, they cover their eyes and then they cover their feet because of the holiness of God. And then they've got wings which fly. They hold their position of honor and fulfill their assignment. So you use the scripture as a place to allow your imagination to go exactly where you want to go. God has given us pictures of it. You could take it out of Revelation. But you've got to memorize the scripture. You just take a little bit of time to memorize the scripture, and then it becomes a personal prayer, and you're coming to a place where you're welcome. Lord, I come before you. So you can come to the throne. The Bible tells us to come to the throne. I like to come there. And in coming there to a throne, I'm not familiar with God. I'm coming to honor him, to honor my Father who's enthroned on high, to honor Jesus seated at the right hand of God and become conscious that God is majestic and glorious and I have an honor coming to him. Now, I can also engage with him in a more friendly way, like is the prodigal son coming to the father or is the coming to the shepherd. There's ways of you different approaches, but the Bible tells us, Jesus said, pray like this, our Father in heaven, we honor your name. So he's saying that when we pray, come with an offering of praise and come with honor. And so as you use scripture and then begin to turn it into your own words, you start to begin to build around you an awareness and consciousness. I'm in the presence of Almighty God. You see, I'm feeling it now. I'm starting to feel it now. You know, because I've done this day after day after day, and that's how I start. I start walking, praying in the Spirit, and after I've started praying in the Spirit and stirred my spirit, then I begin to, Father, I come boldly. I come as your child. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. What an honor to come into the very throne room. Oh, I see you lifted high, clothed with majesty, and you're my Father. I honor you. And so I just fill out the prayer, but I'm creating in my imagination what the Bible says is true. I'm allowing my whole mind and imagination to be filled with heaven's reality. And the amazing thing is when you do that, your spirit rises up and you begin to experience and become conscious of it. That's the value of it. See, it's like the Bible says to come boldly. So that looks like being quite confident. And then after you've come boldly like that, oh, Father, as I come, I am so aware. You know, like Isaiah, you know, he came and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the seraphim, you know, each with six wings, and one cried to the other, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well, I just pull all of that apart and pray all that around. And then he said, oh, woe is me. Lord, I see my shortfallings. And I come and ask for your blood to cleanse me. Can you understand? But don't come like a beggar. Don't come like a poor person. Come as we're told to come. Boldly, unashamed, born again, part of the royal family. We belong in the presence of God. We belong in the throne room with Him. We're invited to come. So we honor Him by actually taking the Word of God and allowing our imagination to see His coming there. And I just hold that in and then pray in the Spirit. See? So my mind is now directed to God and fixed on Him. Now that's what helps you overcome all the distractions. You need something to fix your mind on. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. So it's like you fix your mind. And that takes a little bit of effort, but I found if you put a picture there, it's not so much effort. If there's a vacuum there, it's a lot of effort because everything else sneaks in. But you just fix your mind there. So we press in with our mind, press in with our body, press in with our thoughts, then press in with your will. You choose to honor God. It's a choice, you know. In Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall boast in the Lord. You use scriptures, see? And sometimes when I'm coming into the presence of God, I'll invite the angels to come with me. Come, you angels of His, who excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of His word. Come, bless the Lord with me, you ministers of His, who do His good pleasure. Come, join with me. So now I become conscious of a spirit realm filled with the angelic and filled with God. It's just breaks out of that religious. There's no joy in that. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a time when we bow and weep and feel. There is a place for that, but we're not told to start that way. We're told to come with the gift of the sacrifice of praise. So do that. Start to build strong praying in tongues. You know, though the fig tree shall not blossom, there be no fruit on the vine, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. So there's a part of it involves your decision. You've actually got to exercise your will and determine that no matter what I'm going through, I will push in prayer until I start to engage the presence of God, no matter what. And so initially there may be a lot of warfare around, all kinds of conflict and turmoil, and if you will just keep rising in tongues and fixing your mind and determining, you'll break through and engage them. It's just so often we quit too soon. We just give up because it feels hopeless and helpless. We're not even aware those are demonic spirits pushing in on you that, you know, God isn't listening, you're this, you're that, you're no good, your life's a mess, you're a wreck, you know, train wreck, you know. Well, listen, that may well be true, but there's something else that's a greater truth. My Father bids me to come into an intimate place with Him. That's a bigger truth. And if I'm a train wreck, well, I can come as a train wreck, but I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. So you can see using Scripture really helps you enhance your prayer life because there's power in the Word of God. And you're making that declaration. The Spirit of God loves the Word of God being spoken through you. So you really lift your prayer life up. Start to get some Scripture in your praying, see? And then you press in with your emotions, you know. Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, I may dwell in the house of the Lord. So I will build that into my prayer. Lord, my desire is to be in your presence. One thing have I desired. Lord, that's what I'm seeking for, to be in your presence, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to see your holiness, to behold you, Lord, and to fellowship with you. Lord, I set my heart on that. I'll talk a bit more about that in the next session. So you deliberately let your heart go towards Him. But that often only happens after you've made your body move, fixed your mind, and started to pray in your spirit. Then you start to find your emotions follow. So your emotions can be up and down and all over the place, but if you will take dominion from your spirit and do these things, something will happen. The atmosphere will shift. The things around you start to change. It can take a little bit of time, but you must press in spite of what you feel. Paul and Silas had been beaten up. They're in stocks. They're in the bottom of a prison, and their back's in pain. They began to pray and praise the Lord. And God responded. So at the time you are finding it the hardest, God is saying, this is the biggest sacrifice of praise you've ever made. And he's waiting for you to just press past that blockage, and he's going to pour his Spirit out on you. And then all the stress, you start to weep and weep, and it becomes sometimes uncontrollable weeping as you feel his love, and you're there, you're with him, you can engage him, you can tell him what's happened. You're now in another dimension of fellowship with him. The big issue is getting there. So while legally we're positioned already in heavenly places in Christ, to make it actually realized experientially, I've got to actually press in with my body, with my spirit, and with my thoughts. And then my emotions will flow. Start to engage God. Actually, quite really enjoyable when you do that. You start to really enjoy his presence. You start to hear him speak. And so we press in with our spirit. So those are the things you do. So you press in. So you overcome the passivity of your body with strong expressions and tongue, strong expressions and praise, and you just overcome that resistance, and after a little while it just overcome. And when you practice this, you find it becomes easier and easier and easier to do it. So I can just step out and step into the Spirit like that and become conscious of God. Could I practice? And when you started, it wasn't like that. I'd be praying in tongues, and and then your emotions would be down, and there's no energy, there's no life in it, and nothing's happening. You understand what we've all been through this. But I've just made the decision now. I'm invited boldly to his presence, therefore come boldly. And I'm not coming to just some little empty thing. I'm coming to the center of governance of all of creation, where power and resources, my Father has it all. I'm coming to the one who has the answer for everything. And he welcomes me into intimacy. Angels, stand back. I'm coming because I'm a son. I invite you with me. Can you see? You use scripture to frame your approach, not religion and tradition and condemnation and negative thoughts, and begin to build a bold prayer life. Now, you may find it seems and feels a little awkward. It's just because your flesh has been trained in something else. But you find that people who engage God always have a strong, bold approach. They're confident that they're accepted, not because they do whether I'm doing well or not. That's justification by my own works. It's just Christ has made a way, and he says, come. He didn't say, come if you're doing well. You know, it doesn't say, he just says, come because I've made the way. You mean even though I failed, even though this happened, that happened, yeah, come. I did it. It's not based on what you did. It's based on me and what I did. And Christians shift from their foundation in Christ to their own works. And then they think how I feel and what I've been doing and how I haven't been doing and this and that. They think that's now disqualifies me coming. So that robs all confidence. So you have to be intentional in pressing through barriers. And when you engage with God, then you start to receive revelation. You sit down and journal. You start to receive ideas and thoughts from God. You get into the Word of God and start to speak to you and talk with you. You start to build a relationship with him. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Except for occasionally, it's not easy. Well, I just got to be honest about it. Sometimes it's very hard. And because there's warfare, conflict, spiritual conflict. But I've learned, don't take any notice of the spiritual conflict. It just happens to be a reality. It's just there. It doesn't mean I'm not near God. It just means I'm not feeling it. And I'm going to still offer the sacrifice of praise. Come on, your body. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Get up. Start to praise the Lord your God. And then begin to start to pray strongly in the Spirit. So I feel my spirit arising. Start to use words from the Bible. Father, I draw near to you. I come boldly into your presence because you have invited me. I come by the blood Jesus shed for me. I stand as a child before my Father. And so on. And you find very soon the whole atmosphere shifts. You're in the presence of God, and then the whole flow comes down, and now it's more intimate and more loving, and there's a change. We might alter the music and so on. But if you're not assertive,